Many along the East Coast are already feeling the effects of Sandy. Meteorologists are estimating damages could range between $1 and $3 billion or more. The American Red Cross is preparing to provide disaster relief services wherever needed. Anna Kate Twitty with the National Red Cross headquarters is on the ground. She joins us live on the telephone. Also joining us is Gary Stryer, CEO for the American Red Cross of Northeastern New York. First, Anna, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Anna, where are you located right now?
I'm in Long Island.
You are on Long Island and waiting for the strongest of the storm to hit, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. We're all in a safe place where I'm actually right outside of our shelter at Nassau Community College. So we're all safe here. We're waiting for it to pass by. We can already hear the effects of the storm outside, and we're so glad that people have decided to evacuate and come to our shelter and be prepared.
Meanwhile, Gary Stryer is relatively safe. He's here with us. So I assume that that's a good safe
Perfect.
Spot. And Gary, and we'll talk to Anna about this in a moment, but how do you work, your regional Red Cross, how do you work with the National Red Cross? I assume those lines of communication are always open.
We're all part of the National Red Cross, our regional chapter, and when there's a small disaster like a fire, we respond. But when there are larger disasters like this, we work very closely with them, and they support our effort. They've sent lots of national folks, staff, and volunteers to our region to help us with the response. So we coordinate very closely with them, and they support us. And when there's a disaster somewhere else, we go and support, like we had people in New Orleans in August.
Anna, give us an idea of what the Red Cross has been doing over the past several days in preparation for the storm.
Absolutely. This is a very large storm that's going to affect millions of residents along the East Coast. The American Red Cross has launched a large multi-state response all the way from North Carolina to New England. We've mobilized hundreds of volunteers, just like Gary said, from around the country, including myself. And we have opened shelters across multiple states. We have also brought in several emergency response vehicles, over 100 of those vehicles, and they're fully stocked with relief supplies, cots and blankets and food, and they're ready to go in these affected areas once it's safe and once the storm has passed.
We have listeners in 7 states, so whether you live in Litchfield, Connecticut, or Plattsburgh, New York, or Fort Edward, New York, or the Berkshires of Massachusetts, or in Brattleboro, Vermont, if you want to find out information about where a local shelter is for you from the Red Cross, how do you do that? The easiest way to find that out is how.
There are a couple ways. First, you can visit redcross.org, and we're constantly updating our shelter locations. Or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can download our free Red Cross Hurricane app. It's for iPhone and Android users. There's an integrated shelter feature where you just click on shelters. It pops up a map with red little pins on it, so you can identify where your closest shelter is based on your GPS location. Click on that. It'll tell you the address, the phone number, the capacity, et cetera. So it's a very great feature, and we encourage folks to go ahead and identify where those shelters are, because you never know if the power is going to go out. So you want to go ahead, identify those, and make a plan. If you're going to go, go now. And if you're going to wait it out, make sure you find the safest place in your home. And if you should need a shelter after the storm, make sure you have those pre-identified now.
Now, for those of us who have never been in a shelter, what could one expect when one goes?
Well, a Red Cross shelter is always going to be a safe, warm place for folks to go. We've got mental health counselors. We've got emotional support folks, health services. We're going to have hot meals and snacks ongoing throughout the day. But we want to encourage folks to bring items with them. You want to bring prescription medications and any special medical equipment that you may need. You need to bring identification, an important medical documents, insurance documents. You also want to bring toiletries, and you want to bring some extra clothing, water, non-perishable food items, And then blankets and extra pillows. We'll have blankets and stuff like that there, but if you want to bring, you know, your own special blanket or your own pillow, we encourage you to do that.
I don't go anywhere without my blankie. I know that.
Well, I'm a big stickler with my pillow, so I'm kind of funny about it.
Now, Gary, you have your shelter up and running, so give us a sense of what that's been like over the last 48, 72 hours of setting that up. What goes into setting up a shelter? Because you don't know how many people are going to show up.
That's right, and that's the struggle with this storm. It's a very large storm, and it's a moving target. We have a building full of hundreds of volunteers and staff that have been there since Friday. We're working closely with our county emergency managers to determine where they want shelter locations. Once we figure out the locations, then we have to make sure we have staff for all of those locations. So we do call downs of our volunteers, and we have to have a schedule for each shelter to be covered. Then we have to make sure we have the supplies in the shelter, and then all of the equipment that we need. And of course, last night we announced that we were going to open 11 shelters this morning. So we're ready to go.
And those shelters, those are people who are going to wait out the storm, and those are people, and those shelters will be ready if, God forbid, something horrible happens and they have to go to a shelter.
Yeah, those shelters are open this morning. And we encourage, again, people that if they're going to go to a shelter before the storm, to go this morning. Don't wait until there are 60-mile-an-hour winds later today.
Well, there are those of us who we've worked very hard, of course. WAMC has in several, Katrina and several other times with the American Red Cross. You actually gave us an award for that, and we thank you for that. However, one of the questions we get a lot is, hey, look, they need the money, but we want to know how much of that money goes to the people who are in need and how much goes to the Red Cross itself for its administrative work. Is there an answer to that?
Yeah, I can answer that one. 91 cents of every dollar donated to the American Red Cross goes directly to our clients and directly to our services. So we're very proud of that, and we want to honor donor dollars as much as possible. That's why we have a wonderful workforce of volunteers. 98% of our workforce are made of volunteers, volunteers that give their time, that give their heart and dedication. Some of these volunteers that have come from around the country, they're going to probably be here for 3 to 4 weeks. That's time that they're leaving their own family and their own friends and their jobs. So it's really a wonderful thing that the Red Cross has the power of volunteers, and that's how we're able to deliver on donor intent, and that's how we're able to invest the money wisely and into our services, into assisting clients and making sure that we're there for our community and we're helping them prepare. We're there during a disaster, and we're helping them in the long term recover from a disaster.
Anna talked about the preparations and getting people prepared, and of course with the shelters, and that's much of what the Red Cross does. So many of us think of the Red Cross also as giving blood. I know, Gary, you had a blood drive earlier over the weekend, and this is a just in case thing, right?
Yeah, I think one of the concerns with the blood supply is that there are going to be a lot of blood drives canceled throughout the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states over the next couple of days, which impacts the supply. So we're really hoping that as conditions improve, that people make a special effort to go out and donate.
Anna, how do you work with the federal government in the sense of you are your own entity, right? But you do have strong ties with the federal government.
We are not a government agency. That's a common misconception. We are a nonprofit 501c3 that rely solely on financial donations. But we work very, very closely with our government. We're actually mandated we're chartered by the government to provide disaster relief services to help run shelters and open shelters. But we are a nonprofit organization. But we do work very closely. We have wonderful partnerships with local, state, and federal government agencies. For instance, the shelter right here that I'm at, we've got all kind of partners in there. We've got police department, we've got the local city, the county. I mean, it's a wonderful collaboration within the community, and we strive to build those relationships before a disaster strikes, so that when there is a disaster like this hurricane, that everything can go smoothly, and it's just a wonderful partnership that we have.
Gary, how often do you get updates from state, local, and national officials as to what's going on and what the need is?
We're on the phone with the county emergency managers all day long. We have conference calls 3 or 4 times a day among all of the Red Cross units. And obviously, email allows us to have almost instant updates as to what's going on.
as of right now, what's going on?
Well, I think we're in the sort of waiting mode right now. We've got folks at our 11 shelters, and at this point in the next few hours, as the wind gets stronger, we're going to kind of button things up. We don't want to have our volunteers or people, streaming to shelters in a 60-mile-an-hour wind. So, we'll have those shelters available, and we'll continue to talk to our emergency managers, and I think we're going to have to see tomorrow where we are and what the need is. We're assuming it'll be mostly power outage, but we don't know what kind of flooding there'll be, so we'll have to evaluate in the morning, and we may have to open additional shelters, and we have additional shelter teams ready to go if we need them.
So is there anything that annoys either of you? In other words, is there something that you wish people wouldn't do?
Is there something?
I wouldn't say it that way. I would just say we hope that people listen to the local authorities, listen to our advice on being prepared, and that they are safe, and that they have been able to get themselves and their loved ones out in into a safe location, whether that's a Red Cross shelter.
Like not taking chances.
Yes, we don't want chances. We'd rather be safe than sorry. It would be great if the storm just went over and it wasn't as big as we thought. But you know what? We always need to plan that it is bigger than we expect, because we would rather people, we want to save lives. We want people to be safe. We want people's family members, their loved ones, to be in a safe location. So if anything, people can take the advice is to have a plan to make sure that they execute that now. Gary made a good point. If you're going to leave right now. If you're going to wait, make sure you find a safe place in your home. You know those areas, and you have constant communication, and you're staying informed on what's going on with the storm.
And if I could just mention, we deal with people every day in the Red Cross who thought it would never happen to them. It's the local fire victim, big disasters. Nobody ever thinks it's going to happen to them, but it does every day. So people have to really get past that and be safe.
Absolutely. And that's one of the main things that I think is so wonderful about the Red Cross is that we have great disaster volunteers. They plan. And so it's always important to have your own personal plan, too, and that your children, your whole entire family knows that plan. And so important to get past the mentality of it won't happen to me, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
So, Anna, you are at a shelter in Long Island, and there have been some evacuations. So are you getting people at that shelter who have been evacuated?
Yes.
And you're working, obviously, with the local officials, and that when they knock on your door and they say, you got to get out of here, this is where they send you. Yes?
Yes. Well, they advise local authorities, or just when they send out an evacuation, they advise folks to find a local shelter, whether that's a city-run shelter or a Red Cross-run shelter. We have our full list of shelter locations on our website. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can download the app. So if there is an evacuation order, make sure you listen to it and make sure you find a safe place to go.
Anna, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Best of luck with your work. Again, people can find out more by going to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Anna, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on today.
Anna Kay Twitty is with the National Red Cross headquarters. Gary Stryer, thank you very much for being with us as well. And I assume you'll be with us throughout the next 48, 72 hours as all of this goes on, and providing us updates with what's happening in this region. Real quick, though, your region consists of
17 counties from Plattsburgh down to Kingston and Poughkeepsie.
Okay, so most of our...
Sounds like WAMC.
Yes, most of our listening area. So a lot of information that we'll be getting from you. Gary, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, and take care of yourself today, everyone.
Appreciate it. Again, redcross.org for more information, and you can get the app and all of the information. We'll be talking more about apps next with our good friend Jesse Filer. Again, you can find out more about the Red Cross by going to redcross.org, and we would love your information, and send any pictures or any concerns or any comments you have to news@wamc.org. You're listening to the Roundtable's extensive coverage of Hurricane Sandy on WAMC.